She was a champion of civil liberties and the First Amendment on ABC News back in 1972.
I don't think anybody should regulate anything. I think it should be up. I don't believe in censorship. I don't believe in anything that they're doing. I think people should have their own rights.
She was a rape victim, an exploited figure of the entertainment world who became a champion of feminism on NBC News in 1979.
The whole idea that people are still making money off of the fact of my being degraded and abused is absolutely phenomenal to me. I mean, I feel now that there's finally human beings that are beginning to stand up and get back their self-respect and make a change in them. You know, I'm not saying ban all pornographic movies or anything like that, but Deep Throat shouldn't be playing because everybody that goes to see it is watching a person being raped and beaten. And that to me isn't right.
But the real Linda Lovelace from the 1970s film Deep Throat, Lovelace the porn star, the celebrity, the activist, eludes us even today.
Tell me about the person you're playing.
At first, I'm closed up like a flower. And then gradually, the petals start to open. And then I finally learn about myself and I learn how to enjoy sex.
Beautiful.
And I feel free.
That's actress Amanda Seyfried playing Lovelace in the new film of the same name. Directors Rob Epstein and Jeffrey Friedman set out to get closer to the real Linda Lovelace by recreating the deep moral contradictions of the 1970s. Lovelace, they say, became a casualty of the deep contradictions in her own strange life.
Linda's life wasn't all tragic, and it wasn't all joy. I mean, that's what life really is. And that's the structure of our movie. It starts out as Linda presented her story to the world, which was through rose-colored glasses. And then 10 years later, she had a very different tale to tell. So that's how we structured the movie, which we felt really mirrors her own psychological development.
Jeffrey, is it also a mirror of a kind of divided notion of the whole porn industry and the whole notion of celebrity that was going on at the same time of Linda Lovelace's career?
And it's still going on. I think it's a reflection of how different reality is from how we perceive it, especially when we're looking at the lives of public people and public events even. You know, the way we receive information and news and life stories and what's really happening often have a wide gulf between them.
Remind us of why, I mean, without being too anatomically correct here, why she was a pioneer in both porn and in cinema. I mean, she changed the culture, not just a few men sitting in the front row with trench coats on, right?
I think a lot of it was her appeal as a person. She was very natural and fun, and she communicated that on camera, and that was really a novelty especially in the context of pornography. One of the ways that Deep Throat was a breakthrough was less in the anatomical, but also just in the idea of having a plot, having humor in a pornographic movie, in a feature film.
But Linda herself was really what made the movie such a success because, as Jeffrey said, she was the girl next door. She wasn't the big buxom blonde that was typical of porn stars of that era. She was really just a very average girl next door who became internationally famous for this one movie.
Did that fame give her a power in the industry that no other porn star had or person
No.
in the sex trade had?
No. I mean, at that point in time, she was very much a victim to that fame, and she spent the rest of her life trying to overcome it. So as far as she was concerned, that fame just led her to being commodified and exploited, and she spent the rest of her life trying to overcome that.
I think it gave her a platform later on when she wanted to speak out against the industry.
Did it help her make that point, or did it further, you know, send her into obscurity when she seemed to change her tune and become an activist against the sex trade?
Both. She became an activist 10 years after doing Deep Throat, and then at a certain point she just faded into anonymity partly by choice and also by circumstance. And she also, she was poor. She ended up with no money, and she was a working class woman without an education and had to do menial wage jobs. But where she found her joy and where she really made her life was as a mother. And that's really where she found her delight in her later years.
In this film, do we ironically end up seeing her as a kind of girl next door, mom next door?
I hope we see her as a real person. I think our goal was to try to communicate something real about this person and get behind the superficial image of her, both as a porn star and as a victim and as a feminist spokesperson. I think we wanted to make her a real person. That was our goal.
In the movie, we take the story up to the point where she was psychologically free, where she felt like she had her own voice and had her own power, and then she could move on with her life. So that's where we really end our story.
Could Olinda Lovelace exist today in the online porn world, which is so different from the 1970s?
Yeah, I mean, we're in such a different world now, and that was one of the challenges of the film, was to give the context of what it meant for her to be this first porn superstar in 1973. And you know, she was really the genie that brought pornography into the mainstream unwittingly. And now we're so far further along that continuum where porn is ubiquitous and free and on the internet.
Is that a bad thing? Does this film take a position?
The film does not take a position. We really just try and present the circumstance. And the circumstance for Linda was that she was in a relationship that was domestically violent. So that she equated her relationship to being in porn to the fact that she was in an abusive relationship. But we just present the circumstance of her doing porn and don't take a position on that. As a culture, we all have to decide what it means. I mean, I think every parent has to make that determination, and every kid growing up has to make their own judgments about it.
Finally, what of the Lovelace sort of family legacy? What is her reputation among the people who she was closest to who survive today?
Well, she's remembered with great love by her children, her two grown children, Dominic and Lindsay, who are coming to our premiere, who saw the film at Sundance and are very supportive of it. And one of the things that was really moving to us was after we showed the film to them, Lindsay, Linda's daughter, told us that each of them have long-term partners that they've never been able to really communicate their mother's story to, and they've tried to read the books and they're just too graphic and awful, and she felt that now with this film they'd be able to make their partners understand something about their mother and the world she came from, and that felt great.
I think the bottom line for us was to do a film about this woman, this character, who all her life felt that she was exploited, and that we wanted to do a film that gave her humanity.
Rob Epstein and Jeffrey Friedman are the co-directors of the new movie Lovelace. And after we spoke with Rob and Jeff, we learned that the film company Arrow Productions, which owns the rights to the original Deep Throat movie, has taken legal action to block the movie Lovelace for copyright infringement.